Leviticus chapter 27. When a man makes a vow, the persons shall be for Yahweh by your valuation. You shall value a male from 20 years old to 60 at 50 shekels. If it's a female, for 30 shekels. If you vow a person from 5 up to 20 years old, then a male will be valued at 20 shekels and a female 10 shekels. I think what this is saying is that if you make a promise to give God something, but then you want it back, well, then this is how much you must pay for it. And clearly they were in the business of vowing to give their relatives and their children to God. So when there's a different value for the female, it doesn't mean that the female is worth less in God's sight in terms of salvation. It just is in terms of how within the economy of labour in those days, a female was worth less. So you think of Hannah devoting Samuel to the Lord from when he was really quite little and he went to work in the temple. You think of Jephthah dedicating his daughter to God, if he won the battle, which he did. If they wanted to change, if, for example, Hannah had dedicated Samuel to the Lord, and then she thinks, oh, I want my little boy back. And if she had gone up to Eli and said, oh, can I have Samuel back, please? Yep, she could, but she would have had to pay whatever the valuation was that's listed here. And this chapter is pretty detailed about all this. And I think there's a reason for that, and it's this, that it's to guard against making a vague sort of emotional level decision, oh, I want to give something to God. And then, oh, whoops, nah, maybe not. God doesn't like that. If you make a vow, if you decide that I'm going to give God this, that, or the other, then give it. And when you've given it, it is not yours. It is not for you then to say, oh, yeah, oh, but I want it back. Now, we're all very emotional beings, and a lot of people are inclined to give, particularly money, on a sort of an emotional level. God loves a cheerful giver, but he doesn't want people who just on the cusp of emotion say, oh, I will give this. He wants you to do it from the heart, seriously, and then not to try to get it back somehow. And this is, I think, the sense of all these laws here about if you make a vow and then you want to take it back, including of a person. Well, later on, the chapter talks about vowing an animal to God. Then that's it. Well, sure, God is not unreasonable. If you really want to take it back, you can, but there's a consequence. You've got to pay money to do that. And likewise, if you give an animal and you want to change it, a good for a bad or a bad for a good, well, again, there's laws that govern that. It's no good giving God an animal because you love him and then saying, ooh, that cow gave such good milk. I would like it back, really. And so there's all these laws about redeeming vows, redeeming what has been promised. And as I say, I think the upshot of it is this, that you are to give to God, not on the cusp of emotion, and not to later want it back. Now, okay, if you really want it back, for whatever reason, if there's some particular reason, okay, but you've got to pay for it. It's to make people serious about their giving to God and to realize that now I have given, I have given. That's it. I'm now minus. That's it. I've given it. And I think that is very important. And in some cases it says that if they tithed some things, sorry, if they gave some things as a vow, if they wanted to redeem it, they must add a fifth part to it, just to make them realize that you do not promise to give things to God quickly and just on the cusp of emotion. And he shall not analyze whether it is good or bad, neither shall he change it. So, no good thinking, I gave that really good, whatever it was, animal or donkey or whatever to God and to the priests, but yeah, I really want it back. No, don't even go there. Don't even think about it. I think that's the idea. But of course, in extreme cases, If you really needed something back, okay, you could take it back, but there was an amount of money to be paid. So the fact all this was there shows that God expected his people to be making free will offerings to him. And so that's what he expects as well. We can discuss, how should I make a free will offering? Is it simply a case of donating money? It can be that. But there's a lot of other things you can give to God. You can give to God your skills to do something. Let's say to fix up a website that's preaching the gospel for somebody, to do this or to do that, to do something at the church hall, to fix something up or whatever. That's all a sacrifice. But we should be motivated by that simple desire, I want to give, and we should give. But God's law recognizes the nature of how we are as humans, and that after we've given, there may be the temptation to somehow resent it and want it back. Just marvel at how the God who is so far away from us knows that. And he knows our likely temptations. He remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows the sort of people we are, sort of thought patterns that we tend to slip into. And his law was really very sensitive. It reflected his sensitivity to people.